Good morning, everybody. Now, I know what y'all were thinking as I walked up here. Y'all were thinking, wow, Pastor Jim sure looks handsome today. And I can't take credit for it. I went and I got my hair cut by Haley last Friday. And before I left, we sat down and we made out a deal, worked up a deal with the salon that she works with. So this message is brought to you by Runway Salon, a rejuvenating haven for your locks and scalp. See Haley to make your appointment today. And now all my haircuts are free. All right, we're going to get into the message here, and it is called Secrets in Hebrew. In the last few weeks that I've spoken, we took a look at the Hebrew language and the Hebrew Aleph Beit, the alphabet, and that in Hebrew, as opposed to English, the letters, each letter has a meaning, and when you string them together, it tells a story. Well, today we're going to find some other mysteries in the structure of the Hebrew language. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." According to the scripture, there are two different kinds of information, or two different kinds of things. The first one is the secret things. These are the things that God has chosen not to reveal to us. They belong to Him. They are God's business. And we are not to mess around in God's business. But there are also things that are revealed to us. Little mysteries in the Hebrew language, in the Hebrew Aleph Beit, that reveal His character, reveal His plan of redemption, reveal His creation. And so today we're going to take a look at a few things in the Hebrew language and how the words are structured. And first off, let me repeat that each letter means something. And when you combine them together in a word, they mean something. Our English language, our English alphabet, it's just a bunch of letters and a bunch of words. They don't have any connection with one another like they do in the Hebrew language. Today, we're going to learn a little bit about how the Hebrew language is structured, how words and verbs are connected to each other by shared roots, root letters. The roots are made up of 2 to 3 letters that serve as a core meaning. You don't have any idea what I'm talking about, do you? Well, let me give you a little example, okay? In the Hebrew, the word katav means reporter. It is made up of 3 root consonants. In the Hebrew language, there are no vowels. There are vowel marks next to the Hebrew consonants, but there are no vowel letters. So the core DNA letters are Kaf, Tav, and Beit. All right? And that is a reporter. Now these 3 letters, core letters, make up other words that are associated with or have a relationship with a reporter. The first is Katav. And it means script. You see the kaf, the tav, and the beit. So katav means reporter. Katav, without the A, the aleph, means script. Mik etav means a letter or mail. Mik etava means desk. Katava means to report, like a press reports. Haktava means dictation, and kativ means spelling. Each one of these words have the same core letters, and they are gathered together, or they are connected by a relationship to one another. A reporter has access to all of these things, correct? So they connect together. And that's how the English or the Hebrew language is structured. When you find out the DNA of a word, you are going to see it happen in other words, and they're going to be connected somehow. So we're going to take a look today. And what's interesting is we've looked at what the letters mean individually and how it meant Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, He. It means the one true God will tabernacle through His Son and through the Holy Spirit. He will knock on the door of the poor and needy and impoverished and breathe His life into them. That's the first five letters of the Hebrew Aleph, Beit. Now we're going to take a look at how God constructed the Hebrew language to reveal Himself, to reveal His plan, and He actually has some words, key words in the Old Testament that are connected together that reveal creation and how He did it and what He did. So the first one that we're going to take a look at is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And in the NASB, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." The same verse in the NIV says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness." The word man or mankind is the same in Hebrew, and it is Adam. Adam. And it means man, mankind, person, or human being, and also Adam, Adam, was the name of the first man. So Adam was the first, the initial. The core letters or the DNA of Adam are Aleph, Dalet, and Mem. Aleph represents the one true God, we learned that. Dalet is the door behind which stands the poor and the needy. And the Mem stands for waters or people or nations or languages. So this reads, God, Aleph, will reach out to the poor and needy individuals behind Dalet, as well as people from all nations, languages, and tongues. That is what we get from Adam. How is he going to do that? Through mankind, through Adam. So that's the first word that we have. It is Adam. All right? So let's go to the next one. Leviticus chapter 17, verses 13 and 14. Any Israelite or any foreigner residing among you who hunts any animal or bird that may be eaten must drain out the blood and cover it with the earth, because the life of the creature is in the blood. And that is why I have said to the Israelites, you must not eat the blood of any creature, because the life of every creature is in the blood. The word blood in Hebrew is dam, D-A-M, which is most of Adam. All right? Let's go back. I jumped one here. It says in Genesis chapter 2:7, says, "The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." The word Adam is a man, which means human being. The word ground is Adama. Very similar. So God created man, Adam, out of what? Adama, the ground. When we read it in English, Adam was made from dirt. It has no meaning. But when you say it in Hebrew, it's Adam, Adama. God created man out of the ground. And then in Leviticus, we just read about the blood. Blood is dam. So God created man out of dirt. And then the essence of man is blood. But in the Hebrew, it is Adam, Adam, Adam. It's not a coincidence. God made these things and created these things so that for those who seek it, you will gain revelation. And when you read this, and when I study this, the more and more I am 100% convinced that God is who He says He is. That the Scripture is what God claims the Scripture to be. It's not an accident. It's not a bunch of things that have been contorted and twisted over the years. It is His Word. It is His Word. So Dom, the blood, is the essence of Adam, which is mankind, who was made from Adama, the ground. Coincidence? No. So the Hebrew language, the words and the verbs and the nouns are linked by relationship or essence. Another way that they are linked in the Hebrew language is by color. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "When they got up early in the morning, the sun was shining on the water. To the Moabites across the way, the water looked red like blood." The Hebrew word for red is Adom. A-D-O-M. Adom. So the next link in the biblical story of creation, Adom. Adom, red, is the color of Dom, blood, which is the life essence of Adam, Adam, who was made from the ground. Adama. Adom, Dom, Adam, Adama. It sounds funny, but it means something. They're all interlinked. They're all connected together. And when we string them together, we see God's creation. I guarantee that Charles Darwin didn't have this information. I guarantee Charles Darwin now knows the truth. And he is responsible for starting a lie that continues to this day. It is a lie that has been taught its truth. I believe in microevolution. I believe in adaptation. I believe that species do adapt. They do evolve. But I do not believe, nor do a lot of scientists, in macroevolution. Which means a chicken becomes a lizard, which is what they're telling. Have you watched any of the newer dinosaur stuff that they're showing to kids, and even Jurassic Park, where the raptors now have feathers? Yeah, they're trying to make it sound like this is truth. There's no link, there's no fossil record showing a chicken becoming a reptile. In the Bible, God says, "I created them, Adam and Eve. I created the animals, all according to their kind." Dogs can mutate and become wolves. The cat family, you can get that over time through microevolution. But that chicken didn't start dropping its feathers and growing scales and hooks and talons and all of that stuff. It didn't happen. That's not the way it happened. It's not the way God described it. And it ain't true. Now, all of us, if you went to a public high school or a public university or even a lot of Christian universities, we've been told it started out as a theory of evolution, and then they drop the theory of and they just call it evolution. When my daughter was in middle school, and if you have kids that are in the public school system or grandkids that are starting in the public school system, make sure you have an open dialogue with them. Make sure you talk with them each and every day about what they are being taught. Because there's a lot of crap out there right now. And when my daughters would come back from the public school system, when we had dinner or whatever, sat around, I wanted to know what they were learning. I wanted to know. And it's interesting, Ashley came home the very first day of school. She was in a science class, and the first words out of her teacher's mouth was, "If any of you are Christians, then your belief in creationism is absolutely false, and I don't want to hear from you." There was no debate. I'm right, you're wrong, keep your mouth shut. That's lovely. But that's what's happening. And what we had taught, you know, we believe that raise your kids up in the ways of the Lord. Train them while you are coming and going. Talk about my word in all things, everywhere you go. And we did. And I knew that there was going to be a time when other schools of thought were going to be introduced to them or shoved down their throat. And so I wanted to make sure that we went to the scriptures, because ultimately the scriptures are the end all. Amen? That's why you have a pastor that is a stickler for scripture. You have a question, let scripture interpret scripture. Don't let the Supreme Court determine what is truth. Don't let Jay Inslee, dear God, determine what is truth. Don't let the Republicans or the Democrats determine what is truth. God's truth, it stands alone. It doesn't care what you think of it. It doesn't care whether or not you believe in it. And it never changes. Truth in America. Word is true. Amen? All right, I'll get off my soapbox. All right, so red is a dome. You guys are getting out really, really early today. Oh, woohoo! All right. Y'all can leave now if you want to. I'll just name you as you go. All right, the Hebrew language also links words by emotions. Emotions. In Ezekiel 12 or 24, verse 16, it says, "The Son of Man, with one blow I am about to take away from you the delight of your eyes. Do not lament or weep or shed any tears." The word tears in Hebrew is dama. Dama. And the link to the story of creation is especially linked to dam. Dam, which is blood, is written with two letters, dalet and mem. Remember, it is the door. Dalet is door, and mem are waters or languages or people or nations. Dama is the same as dam, except you add an ayin at the end of it. Ayin means eye. You probably don't have that up there, Kim, so she's like, where's that? No, she doesn't have that. Ayin means eye or to see. To see. So dama means the people or nations behind the door. Let them have an eye to see. Let them have an eye to see. So tears are the blood of the eyes. And it's interesting that the emission of both blood and tears from the body is called shedding. shed blood, you shed tears. I'm going to have the music ministry team come. Oh, is Angela here? She's up, Tiny Tots? Okay, someone will go. Unless, Ron, you want to play the piano on this time? Tears are the blood of the eyes, and it's interesting the emission of both tears and blood from the body is called shedding. While the shedding of blood usually indicates an injury to the body, the shedding of tears usually indicates an injury of the soul. They're all connected. Adam, Adama, Dam, Adom, Dama. The original mankind was made from the ground and was given life through the blood. The blood is red, and the tears that will be shed in life, both physically and emotionally, they're all connected. Each and every one. Adam, Adama, Adam, Adom, Dama. Incredible. It is absolutely incredible. His word is incredible. You see, we have at our disposal a lot of things in Scripture that God is wanting to reveal to those who seek Him. God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you may be found. I may be found. If you seek me with all your heart. God does not have time for casual inquirers. Yeah, I've had people say to me, yeah, you know, I tried Jesus. Well, it's not like trying broccoli. You decide whether you like it or not, whether you continue with it or not. No, you don't try Jesus. Jesus wants all of us. He said in the book of Revelation, God said, I would rather you were hot spiritually or cold spiritually. But you are lukewarm. You are the kind of person that tries me to see if I fit into your life, to see if you like it or not. That's not how the deal is. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of people relationship with God is. There are a lot of people that give no thought about God until things get messy in their life. You see, good, we're all fat and happy. We just enjoy in life. Things are cruising along, and then all of a sudden, guess what? There's some crap headed your way. And it's everybody that goes through it. Now, don't get me wrong. God will use the crud if it brings you to Him. He will allow those things to happen because He sees the end product where we see what's in front of our face. He will allow us to go through difficult times. He will allow us to go through trials and tribulations. Why? Because it develops our character. It gets us to the point where we rely upon Him. But the problem is when things turn out okay, we in our man and woman, mankind, broken flesh, usually we'll take credit for it. Did you see how I got out of that? It was amazing. Can you imagine if Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire or the lion's den, strutting their stuff. You see that? Yeah, I had those lions eating out of my hand. You know what? God would have released the lions on Daniel. Daniel was smart enough to know that it wasn't him that was delivered by his own power. It was God. It was the hand of God. And when we receive a blessing, there's an old Hebrew saying, and I love it. When we receive a blessing from God and we don't thank him for it, you stole it. You stole it. You ungrateful little buggers. We're all guilty of it. We're so stupid, we don't see the blessings in front of our faces. You know what we focus on? The blessings that we want, as opposed to the blessings that we have around us. You see, you ever go to the eye doctor? Oh, y'all, none of you go to the eye doctor. Okay, great. Just me, I go to the eye doctor. Why? Because all of a sudden, and it's not all of a sudden, I can't read things. And I'm driving at night and I'm wondering, why are all these signs so fuzzy? It's the sign maker. He doesn't know what he's doing. But we go and we get adjusted, and they put you behind the machine and blow air in your eyeballs. And what looks better, one or two? What looks better, two or three? What looks better, you know? And when you walk out and you get your prescription right, it's amazing. Like, when I first got contacts as a kid, I didn't know I couldn't see. Had no idea. But I couldn't sit in the back anymore because I couldn't see the board, because that's back when they had chalkboards. Chalkboard, for you younger people, was a big black board or green, and you use a piece of white thing called chalk, and you would write on it, and then you could erase it, and it made dust. And then afterwards, if you were bad, you had to clean the erasers. But I couldn't see anymore, and I hated sitting in the front. I'm a back row dude, because you can get away with more stuff in the back row. And I had to move forward, and I didn't like that. So I said, Mom, I'm too cool for glasses. I need contacts. Well, I got contacts, and I walked out of the office after they fitted me in. I don't know how I continued wearing contacts. When she put them in, it just went bloop, bloop, piece of cake. The next morning, it took me 45 minutes. Because a natural response when you touch your eye is what? Close. I fought with those. And I was late for school because I couldn't get my eyes in. But when I finally did and the swelling went down in my eyes, I could see. I could see things like I hadn't seen them forever. And it was amazing. You see, when the more we understand God, the more we dig into his word, into his truth, he reveals himself. It's like we get a new pair of glasses and we see things differently. And it's like amazing. That's why I do this. That's why Larry and Aaron and Pastor Henry preach the Word of God. So that when you leave here, you see things differently. You see things with clarity. Because the world likes to muddy up your vision. Likes to keep you in the dark. God's Word is light. It brings life to our cores. Amen? Please stand. I pray that you would be with us. Strengthen us. Encourage us. It says in your word that you are the lifter of our heads. You are our strength, Heavenly Father. Help us to tap into that strength through your Holy Spirit so that we can live lives according to your ways, according to your purposes, and according to your plans. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you have made known to us, that you have revealed to us. You alone are worthy of our praise. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Pray that you would dismiss us now. Be with those who could not make it. Be with those, Heavenly Father, who need a physical healing touch. May you reach down, because you know what the problem is. You are the creator of all things. Touch them, Heavenly Father, right where they are. And Lord, for those who are spiritually wounded, reach down and be their peace. Be their comfort. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come to you with all things. Dismiss us now. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Before you leave, I would like to ask a question. So how many of you are rooting for the 49ers? How many of you are rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs? And how many of you are rooting for both of them to lose? Woo! You're dismissed. Have a great day.